I just kind of imagine that the job of a flight attendant would grow kind of wearisome after a while. I don't fly a whole lot, but in years past I have done a little bit. And each and every time I've done that, the flight attendant, before the plane ever takes off, will take the time to show what to do in the case of emergency, show you where the oxygen masks are going to fall down, and then show you the escape routes. And what I noticed on most of those flights is not many people are paying any attention to what's being said. In fact, I just imagine that if there were problems on that airplane, that very few people would actually know what to do. Very few people would say, oh yes, I remember what that attendant said, because we don't pay attention to those things. Sometimes I think that may be our problem as well when it comes to spiritual things. But yet when we think about escape routes, we understand that God has made some promises to us. In fact, He tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 this. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." As we think about our lives here, we know that on a daily basis, we face a barrage of temptations. There are days possibly when several times during that day, we are tempted to go beyond what God has told us to do or not to do. As a result of that, God says, you must be ready and you must understand that the temptations that you experience are temptations you can get through. Because I've provided escape routes for you. When there are temptations that are too great for you, I'm going to give you, first of all, the knowledge of knowing that you're not going to have to bear those. I'm going to protect you from those. But from the temptations you can bear, He says, I have made a way of escape. Now that means two things for us. First of all, it implies that you and I must find these ways of escape. That when there are temptations that we come up against, which God knows full well we can overcome, you and I must look for the way of escape that He's given. And then secondly, we've got to take it. We've got to be willing not only to see it, but then to have the courage and the strength to do what the Lord has told us to do. This morning, I want us to talk about finding God's ways of escape. As you and I consider the temptations that we face, what do we need to know as we understand the promise that He's made that He will provide that way of escape for us? At the outset of the lesson this morning, I want to start with a very basic idea. As you and I consider finding God's ways of escape, we've got to understand that that begins with God. Now, I understand that this is a very elementary principle. However, you and I have got to believe that He provides that way of escape. And why even mention that, as simplistic as it sounds? Because I would say to you that as simple as it sounds, that's one of the hardest things it is for us to accept. Because there are times when our lives become so difficult. There are times when our lives become so hard. And we face these temptations that we may call into question what God is doing for us. You and I may call into question, has God really given me a way of getting out of this temptation? Has God really provided the avenue so that I can escape this temptation? I imagine if all of us are honest with ourselves, we understand that this in and of itself has been a temptation for us. Before these times come, though, before we face those occasions in our lives where we say, how can we ever get out of this situation? You and I have got to have the kind of relationship developed with the Lord already, where we understand that He is a God of impossibilities. That when things look their bleakest and they look their darkest, we already have developed the foundation of knowing that God will provide that way of escape. Now, as we consider that, what does it mean that I must recognize? If I trust that God will provide a way out for me, What is it that I must recognize about it? If you will, look over to the book of Ecclesiastes with me. We're going to spend a little bit of time here in chapter 7 during the first part of the lesson. And I want you to notice something that the wise man here says, most likely Solomon writing the book. As we come down to verse 15, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, looking down to verse 15, Solomon writes this, "I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness." And Solomon says things to us about what he's witnessed during his life. He says sometimes things just don't appear the way they ought to be. There are occasions when you look at life and you say, that's just not how things ought to go. And as Solomon gives us this example, he says, I've seen good men who had bad things happen to them. I've seen bad men who had good things happen to them. I have seen things that if you are looking at it with the wisdom that comes of that under the sun, it just doesn't look right. Let me suggest to you this morning, there are going to be those occasions in our lives as well. There are going to be times when it just doesn't look like things are going the way they are supposed to go. After all, if someone's faithful to God, should they not be rewarded for that? If someone is going against God's Word, shouldn't they be punished for that? But yet we look and we say those things are reversed. Now, there's the temptation. Many times people will say that obviously God is not in control. Obviously God doesn't know what's going on. Obviously God is not helping me. And we go off into these extremes and our faith is shattered by that. Well, what do we do? What do we do when it doesn't look like that things are going the way they ought to go? Look on down to verse 18. Solomon says, it is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. Solomon says, I know there's things that just don't look right. I know there's things that look very contradictory from the way they really ought to be going, at least the way we think they are. But what he says is it ultimately comes down to this point. It ultimately boils down to the point that if you fear God, everything's going to be okay. That if you fear God, it doesn't matter what the surface may look like. It doesn't matter what the appearance may be like. Everything's going to work out. That's what you and I must understand. That if we are going to trust that there is a way of escape from any temptation under which we are placed, that God is in control. That God knows what's going on. Note as well with me, going down a little bit further to verse 23. He says, all this I have proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was not far from me. As for this which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness, and I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. As Solomon does throughout this book, he says, I've looked at things and I've come to a conclusion that if you let God control everything, it's going to be all right. He says, if you let God run things, it's going to be okay. In this particular reading, he talks about the one who's snared, the one who's trapped. But yet he says, for the one who will follow God, there is a way of escape. Do you and I trust that God can deliver us from any kind of evil? That's where the escape route begins. Well, let's move on though to another point. As we consider how God is going to provide a way of escape for us, We have to understand that that initial trust then brings us to the fact that we are going to accept and continue in our walk with Him. When you and I think about escaping from temptations, we've got to understand that that will come through our Savior. This morning in our reading, we were reminded of what Peter tells us about what must be added to our life, that if we are going to have the kinds of thoughts and the kind of heart that we need to have, what must be added to make that complete? Well, as we meditate on those thoughts and understand those thoughts, we then know that it's through God, that through walking with Christ, that we have the godliness to know that God will provide that avenue of escape. But yet, as you and I consider what Christ has done for us, we must as well understand that as in all things, He has set the example for how we escape from our temptations. Christ has shown us that there is a way of escape for every sin, for every temptation. Take just a minute and look over to the book of Hebrews with me to chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. As we look here at chapter 4, I want us to look at verse 15, which I believe is one of the most consoling verses in the entire Bible. As we look here at what the writer is telling us, note what he says. He says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." We face these temptations and they're difficult for us. And we think about how hard they are. We consider the temptations that we're placed under, and we consider the times when we overcome those temptations. What a good feeling that is. You know what I mean? When there has been something that has been tempting us and we have stood firm against it and we have not given in by the grace of God to the tempter, and we can stand back and say, yes, God provides a way of escape. But this morning, I'd like for you to consider the life of Jesus Christ. In the time that He was here, He did not succumb to any temptation. I guess, unfortunately, as I think about my life, and maybe as you think about yours as well, for every temptation I have overcome, I think about the many that I did not overcome. I think about the times when I allowed the tempter to put me to the test and I failed. Jesus Christ had none of that to happen to Him. Every temptation under which He was placed, He overcame that. We usually think about the three temptations that He was given on the mountain. That is just simply a smattering of the temptations that Jesus underwent. Every temptation that He was given, He overcame. And what does that mean for us? That means that with God, there are no impossibilities. There is no temptation out there that is so great that there is no way I can overcome it. How do I know that? Jesus set the standard. Jesus showed me through His life that anything that needs to be overcome can be overcome. That any temptation that I am placed under, God provides the way of escape if I meditate on good things, if I build on my godliness, if I walk in the ways of Christ. We understand that Christ shows us this. And that truly it must be the question when we are tempted of what would Jesus do in this situation. If we could ever train our minds not to immediately say, how am I going to get out of this? What's going to become of me? God's too hard on me. But replace those thoughts with how would Jesus deal with this situation? You and I may not find the temptation any easier, but we're going to find the way of escape. We're going to see the escape route that's been provided for us so that we can overcome that. See, part of it is understanding that God has given the way. And part of it's understanding that we must continue looking to Christ as our example. But in doing these things, we're only part of the way there. God has said, I will give you the way of escape. I'll provide it for you. But then it means I must take that escape route. And sometimes that's where we have our problems. Not in the fact that God has provided a way, not in the fact that Jesus has set the standard, but rather in committing myself to saying, I will not fall to this situation. Sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it's difficult. But I do whatever I can. I remember some years ago now, I suppose, as happens the case many times in mining communities, there had been a problem. One of the caves had collapsed. The tunnels had collapsed. And miners were trapped in Pennsylvania. And what they had to do was to drill down on a different side of where that mine was to come down and to link up with that collapsed mine, which they did. And I remember, I suppose maybe it was the first time I had seen this, so that's why it kind of stands out in my mind, that they had this big kind of elevator-looking thing that they put over that newly dug hole. And in some kind of mechanism, they released it down into that mine. Those miners got on board and they rowed it up to the surface and were rescued. How do you think that story would have changed if those miners had said, now, we don't like that. We don't really like what you've sent for us. You know, if you could send something a little better, something to make us a little more comfortable. You know, we've gone through a bad ordeal here. Can't you send something better? We're not going to take that. I suppose many people would have said, well, just leave them down there. You know, if that's their attitude, just leave them there. Is that what we sometimes do with God? God gives us the escape route. God shows us the way. And we say, I'm just not too crazy about that. I don't quite like what God's doing here. I want something different. I want something easier. I want something better. Let me tell you, we don't question God. If God sees that this is our way of escape, that's what you and I must take. And as we think about our personal responsibilities, part of that escape is going to be listening for the instructions that He gives us. Look with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want us to note down, beginning in verse 24, as Paul is giving some of his final thoughts here, really of his life, but especially some of his final thoughts to Timothy. Notice what he tells Timothy concerning Timothy's obligations. Verse 24, he says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Sometimes the escape route God has given us is listening to somebody else. Sometimes the escape route God has given to us is the fact that there is somebody telling us what we need to hear. Notice I didn't say what we want to hear, what we need to hear. Now the question is, when God has provided an escape route like that, what is our reaction to it? Certainly, I want to stress to us that it's important that we have our own personal study time and that we're studying the Word as we ought. But I want to stress equally as much that there are occasions when there are going to be folks teaching us from the Word of God things that we need to hear to escape from where we are. And the question is, how do we react to that? I suppose in most churches, every time we get together, there is a plea made for anyone present who is not a Christian to become one. That's God's escape route if I'm in sin. If I'm realizing that my life is not what it ought to be, that I've not given myself to Him, there is the escape route. Here is the way I get out of that situation. There may be times when there are things after I become a Christian that I hear that need to change me. The question is, how do I react to it? I'm not going to ask you to do it. But if I did, and I said, raise your hand if you've ever sat in a Bible class or you've ever sat through a sermon and you came away from that sermon saying, he was talking to me. I imagine most any honest Christian is going to raise his or her hand and say, yes, that's your escape route. When there are things in my life that are present that ought not to be, or things not present that ought to be, and someone is encouraging and admonishing me to make those changes and basing those claims on the Word of God, there's my escape route. We've got to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us. And I guess we've made this point, haven't we? The teaching must be accepted. That I not only hear it, but I do it. Look over to chapter 3 here. Just backing up a little bit from where we were, or forward a little bit rather. Verse 16, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now notice this. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There are times somebody may say something from the pulpit or a Bible class that I don't like, but I need it. I've got to accept that. I have never even got a whiff of this feeling here at Gooch Lane. But there are some places more and more that are saying, we want you to preach things that make us feel good. We want you to preach things that make us, you know, feel great when we walk out of the auditorium. Well, that's important. And I'll say that a lot of churches have neglected that part of preaching. A lot of preachers have neglected that. They focused on the negatives. We need the positive too. But notice what this verse says. All Scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Sometimes somebody just needs to lay down what it's like. Somebody sometimes needs to just get up and not beat around the bush and just simply say, here's what things are like and here's what we ought to be like. Let me encourage you as Christians never to limit such a man in his teaching like that. Never to say, we just simply want to feel good when we leave. We don't want to hear anything else. We're closing the door to our escape if that's the case. God tells us to listen. But that's part of the way of escape. As well, He says you've got to have yourself under control. That if you are going to find the escape routes that I have given, you have got to exercise control over your emotions. Isn't that what the fruit of the Spirit basically tells us? When in that reading, the apostle includes amongst all of these other things of joy and peace and love and long-suffering, self-control. That if you and I are growing and we're progressing as Christians should be doing, that we can control our actions, that we can control our emotions. We have our spirit in subjection. That's how we find the escape route. It's by understanding that we are not going to fly off the handle because God has provided something that maybe we don't like to hear, but that we need to hear. Notice with me over in Luke chapter 21 what Jesus had to say here. And I am not even going to attempt this morning to take the time to put all this in context. Let's just pick up and see the lesson that we can get out of this section. Here in chapter 21, verses 34 down, that should say 36 there, 34 through 36. He says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Let me ask you something. If our lives are so encumbered with the cares of this earth, how are we going to find the escape routes? If I am too busy to read my Bible, if I am too busy to pray, if I'm too busy to assemble with the saints every opportunity I get, if I'm too busy to meditate and reflect on the ways of God, how will I ever know when that escape route is given to me? Isn't that what Jesus is saying? He's saying you've gone off into worldly pursuits, you've gone off into the cares of this world, and you won't know when the day comes how to escape from it. I believe that what we see here is that in principle, Jesus is saying if we are interested in other things, there is no being ready to escape. That if we have allowed ourselves not to be under control, but we've allowed our passions to take us in every direction other than the ways of God, the escape route is closed to us. And I suppose if we wanted to sum all of this point up, we could just simply say that we must rule over our spirit. There's a proverb that's given over in chapter 16 of the book that touches on this idea. As Solomon here is talking about the things that must be done to maintain control, I want us to note what he says here in verse 32. He says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." I'm going to tell you, ruling over your spirit is a full-time job. Ruling over your spirit is not something that you do a couple of hours in the morning and you got it taken care of for the day. Ruling over your spirit means that you stay quiet when somebody else isn't. That you stay calm when someone else is angry. Ruling over your spirit means that you keep your emotions under control and don't allow yourself to be given over to excess joy in the sense of just trying to find anything as Solomon did to make you happy under the sun. But also not giving yourself over to excess sadness that everything is bad, that everything's horrible, that this life has nothing good to offer. Ruling over one's spirit means that we maintain and exercise self-control in everything we say, everything we do, everything we think. That's how we find the way of escape. Because when you and I have our spirits under control, we can understand what God is telling us through His Word. And when we hear those things, we'll then put them into application. Are you and I ready to find that escape route? Are we trusting God? Do we know that God has provided a way? Are we continuing through Christ? Do we have ourselves under control, listening and acting as we ought? Go ahead and take your songbooks out, if you will, and turn to the number that's been announced. Maybe this morning there's someone who needs to find a way out. You have allowed yourself to become embedded, enmeshed in sin, and you're ready to escape. God says if you're not a Christian, come to Him this morning. He'll welcome you into His family if you trust in Him. If you trust that His Son has died for your sins, and if you trust that through the waters of baptism, those sins will be washed away. God's given you a way of escape. Maybe this morning you've done that, but you've allowed the cares of this life to pull you back in. You've not maintained that control we've talked about. If it's something we can pray about this morning, we'll do that with you. When someone is trapped, and a way of escape presents itself, there's an immediate reaction. I would suggest that the same thing should be true for us. This morning, if you realize that you are trapped in sin, the escape route has been opened. Won't you respond to it while we stand and sing?